thank you so much for making this a part of your day. Today, we are continuing our series on the Bible villains, and today we are looking at King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great was a brilliant and ruthless leader. He was the leader of the Jewish people he was the Roman approved Jewish leader of the Jewish people in Judea at the time of Jesus's birth. That was kind of the end of his reign. He had been he had reigned for 30 some years, for a long time. And so who was he? Well, let's start with talking a little bit about his father. His father was Antipater, and he was born in Palestine at a time of political turmoil. He was his father was an ambitious and clever soldier and led an army. And so he hears that Julius Caesar is in the need of aid during the siege of Alexandria. And so Antipater takes his army to Julius Caesar's aid and helps them win the siege of Alexandria. Caesar returns the favor by making him chief minister of Judea. Eventually, Antipater ousts the king from his throne and takes it for himself, and he could do that because he had the support of the Romans. And so then he appoints his son Herod as governor of Galilee, and 6 years later, Mark Antony made him tetrarch, which is basically the Roman-approved governor. 6 years after this, the Senate in Rome names him king of Judea and gave him an army to protect him, to make sure that no one would challenge him. So by the age of 36, Herod was the unchallenged ruler of Judea. So he is the king of Judea, and he says, well, what can I do as the king of Judea to make the Israelite people like me more? So he marries Miriam. Miriam is a member of Judea's most famous royal family, the Hasmoneans. And so they rule together. You know, he marries her and all the Jewish people are happy. And then he has Mark Antony, who is the ruler of the eastern half of the Mediterranean for the Romans. Mark Antony, who's married to Cleopatra, that whole thing. And so he supports Herod as Herod becomes lone ruler of Judea. So Herod becomes this person of great power and can't be challenged by anybody. And so he supports Mark Antony until Mark Antony loses the Battle of Actium, when he switches sides and becomes an ally and friend of the victor of this battle, Octavian, who becomes Emperor Augustus. Herod was always able to keep the Romans happy. He was really good at collecting taxes and sending those taxes on to the Romans, and he was really good at just, you know, making sure that the Romans were happy so that he would be continue to stay in power. Okay, so what was Herod good at? Other than keeping the Romans happy, he was good at building stuff. He was good at building stuff. He built the seaport in Caesarea, and his most famous architectural achievement, building achievement, was rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, which he completely rebuilt it. It was beautiful, and he was able to do so in a shorter time frame than how long it would take usually to build something like that. Something also that most people don't know is he was the president of the Olympic Games during his reign. The Olympics were very important to him, and so he basically ran the Olympics. Now, he was not loved by the people of Israel. He was resented, and part of that was because the Hasmoneans, this famous royal family, they were the ones who should be in power, not him. So he ends up marrying Miriam, thinking that's going to appease people, and it really doesn't. It really doesn't. So what he chooses to do, this is where the evil, I mean, he's a bad guy, and we're going to get to biblical evil stuff, but he chooses to kill the entire Hasmonean family. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means, first and foremost, he killed his wife. He strangled his wife. And then he killed his two sons because they had Hasmonean blood. And then he kills his younger brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, his wife's grandfather. He strangled his sons. He made Emperor Augustus say that it was safer to be Herod's pig than it was to be his son. since the Jewish people do not eat pork. I mean, he killed his wife, he killed his sons, he killed his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, and his grandfather-in-law. Just a terrible human being. Does this out of resentment, out of paranoia, just wanted to make sure that the Hasmonean line was going to end and that there was never going to be another Hasmonean. Pretty terrible. But I will say this, that it was the Hasmonean line who 30 to 40 years before his birth went around and did forced conversions, forcing people to become Jewish people. So his father and their family, they weren't Jewish. They weren't Jewish people. They were Arabic. And so from what I understand, that I'm not completely sure, that's what I understand. And they were forced to become Jewish people. This basically the Hasmoneans went around and said, if you want to keep your land, you need to become circumcised and you need to become Jewish or we're going to take your land from you. And so they became Jewish. Not that's not their nationality. That's not, you know, they this is all within one generation. And so kind of this very strange dynamic going on. So, okay, he's a terrible human being. He's done terrible things. He killed his wife. He killed his sons, all this stuff. Okay, so now he's in his 70s. He's been ruling for about 35, 40 years. The wise men come to see him. And the wise men say, Matthew chapter 2, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where was the Messiah to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him. Okay. Forget everything you know about Jesus as an adult. Forget all the stuff that Jesus said and did that caused him to be at odds with the religious leaders. Forget all that stuff. Assume that he's going to do all of the things that the Jewish people want him to do. That he's going to come and be the Messiah they want him to be. He's going to kick out the Romans. He's going to restore Israel to prominence. Maybe Israel becomes the new Rome. Maybe they have an empire that reaches far beyond their borders. Maybe they have great wealth and prosperity and abundance, right? This is what the people were hoping for when the Messiah was to come. This is all good news for the people of Israel, that the Messiah was to be born before Jesus came along as an adult and told them, nah, it's not going to be that way. This is what they were hoping for. So assume that all these things are going to happen. Herod hears the Messiah is going to be born, and what does he do? He wants to kill him. He wants to kill him because it means good for everybody but Herod. And so he wants to kill him. So he wants to kill him. The wise men know not to tell them where Jesus was born. An angel visits Joseph, telling him to get Jesus out of there, take him to Egypt. So Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, was in a furious rage, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the wise men. Killed all the male children 2 years old or younger. What Joseph feared would happen did, and that's why he took Jesus to Egypt. I mean, this is a paranoid madman. Convinced everyone in his kingdom wanted him dead, universally hated, and for good reason. He kills an entire population of young boys. Now, in the Bethlehem area at that time, who knows how many kids that would have been, 2 years old and younger. Who knows how many boys that would have been, 2 years old and younger. I mean, it could have been 50, could have been 500, probably smaller. But these are peasant children. Bethlehem isn't a thriving metropolis. It's kind of, you know, it's a small town. And so he just has them all killed. Imagine being a parent and having a Roman centurion come into your house and say, I need your son. It doesn't go mentioned in the history books, but why would it? It's peasant children, and but it's just a terrible, terrible, terrible story. Now, this isn't the first time in the Bible that a ruler has had a bunch of male babies killed. If we go back to Exodus chapter 1, 15 to 22. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, "When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth and on the delivery stool, if you see the baby as a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let him live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So, then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, not just the midwives, all his people. "Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." The Pharaoh is trying to get rid of the Hebrew people. If there's no males, the line has to end. There will no, I mean, this is extinction, right? This is taking these people, this is genocide. It's making sure that these people cannot procreate, they cannot continue to exist. Terrible. Now, why is that story important? I mean, other than the fact that the terrible things happened and children died. Well, because Moses was born at that time, and Moses' mother put him in a basket and sent him on down the river to protect him. And Moses is then taken in by the niece of Pharaoh and is raised in the palace. So the two times in history in the Bible that this happened is at the birth of Moses and the birth of Jesus. You could say the two most important people in the Bible, Moses and Jesus. The two most important characters in the Bible, Moses and Jesus. The two most important people who bring in a new covenant, the Mosaic covenant and the covenant of Jesus. People would do whatever they could to stop these two people from being born, to stop Moses and Jesus being born. Now, both were unsuccessful. Both were unsuccessful. You wonder, though, how many innocent children lost their lives because of the paranoia and the evil of those leaders. So Herod the Great dies in 4 BC, and an angel of the Lord told Joseph that it's now safe for him to return. So he does. So if Herod the Great died in 4 BC, and he killed all the children 2 years old or younger, there's no way Jesus was born on zero, right? So Jesus is probably born 4, 5, or 6 BC. So that's why we say that Jesus wasn't born on at zero. So that's just helpful information. Okay. So that's the end of Herod the Great. Terrible person. He's dead, though. Now, while we're talking about Herod the Great, I thought it would be a good time to talk about the four different men called Herod in the Bible or in the New Testament. So this is Herod the Great, who was the Herod when Jesus was born. He had the full support of the Romans, and so therefore he had a long reign where he was unchallenged because, quite frankly, nobody had the power to stand up to him. He had a son, Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas became Herod after his father died, and he reigned from 4 BC to like 39 AD. So he reigned for 40-some years as well. He's the one who had John the Baptist beheaded because of an oath he swore to his stepdaughter. And later, he's the one who worried that Jesus is John the Baptist back from the dead. He was the one that Jesus was sent to, but he didn't want to deal with it, so he sends him back to Pilate. He was exiled by Caligula, most people think to Spain, where he died, where he lived out the rest of his days. But he was exiled because they said that he was plotting to overthrow Caligula, and he had no way to defend himself, and so he's exiled to Spain. And his nephew, Herod Agrippa, then, the nephew of Antipas and the grandson of Herod the Great, Herod Agrippa takes over, and he only reigned from 41 to 44, 3 years before he died. He's referenced in Acts chapter 12 as doing a lot to persecute and arrest many Christians. So when he dies, his son Herod Agrippa II takes over. He's the last of the Herods, He is referenced in Acts chapter 25 and chapter 26. Paul is arrested and sent all over the place, and they don't know who they need to have Paul go in front of to decide what to do with Paul. So in Acts 26, he listens to Paul and he finds no reason to punish Paul and says, we should set him free. But Paul had already asked to have his case taken before Caesar. And since Paul was a Roman soldier, they sent him to Rome. So Agrippa II reigned mostly over territories outside of Judea as a Roman governor. But here's the thing. In the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70, when Jerusalem was captured and destroyed, Herod Agrippa II supported Rome. He even sent some soldiers to help fight alongside Rome. To the very end, the Herods were pro-Roman. They were not pro-Israelite. They were not for the Jewish people, even though they were supposedly of Jewish blood, but they really weren't. They were forced to become Jewish people 100 years beforehand. So he dies around 95 to 100. Nobody really knows how old he was when he died, but that was the end of the Herods. So Herod the Great, an absolutely terrible human being, killed his wife and children, killed the children of many families in the Bethlehem area, and is a terrible human being that is one of our Bible villains. So we will look at another Bible villain tomorrow. Well, I thank each of you for joining me today. Hope you have a wonderful day. Stay safe. Protect yourself. Do all that you can to wash your hands and all that stuff so that you can stay safe. Close with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day and for your many blessings. We thank you for this time that we live in, a time of peace compared to so many other times in history. We pray that you would help us all to live in peace with our neighbor, that you would help us to make strong relationships and love our neighbor. We continue to pray for those who aren't feeling well, grant them healing, and protect each and every one of us as we know that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a wonderful day, everybody.